Most Americans today are aware that there is a deep state, that there exists an unelected, invisible government behind the elected, visible government of the United States. But how many are aware of how extensive that deep state is, how deep it is, and the great control that it exercises over the policies of the United States of America, particularly in the intelligence agencies? Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit. And today we have with us William F. Jasper, who is senior editor of the New American Magazine. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure being back.
Well, thank you for coming back. And it's always a delight. And of course, what we want to talk to you about today is the extensive cover story package that you did for the May 29 issue of the New American Magazine. And the reason I say extensive, Bill, is because you did three major articles in that issue having to do with the intelligence community. The first one is entitled Intel's Real Target, America. But before we delve into that, I want to refer first to one of the other articles you did having to do with Deep State's Embedded Reds. And the subtitle says that since its founding, is the OSS that the CFR leaders, that refers to the Council on Foreign Relations, have recruited and promoted known communist agents and have protected them from investigation and prosecution. And of course, the article provides information showing that the CIA, which ostensibly is supposed to protect ourselves from foreign adversaries, such as the communists, in fact, is embedded with communists. Now, Bill, I want to ask you about something specifically that is not in your article, so we're going to go beyond the cover here, so to speak. But earlier this week, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running for president of the United States as a Democrat, was interviewed by the Gateway Pundit. And in that interview, he talked about the assassination of his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. And regarding that, he referred to Lee Harvey Oswald is being an asset of the CIA. He also said he was not a defector to communism. Well, he didn't say that explicitly. What he said was he was a fake defector, and that that defection or that supposed defection was arranged by James Angleton. So, what are your thoughts regarding that, Bill? And specifically, is it possible to be an asset of the CIA and to be a genuine communist at the same time?
A couple of very important questions. And you're right. Even though you allowed me to hog a lot of real estate in this particular issue with my three articles, my apologies and thank you for being so generous there. This is a big topic, and there was so much that I couldn't get into that we're saving for future issues online and in print. But I didn't get into a number of important things, including Robert F. Kennedy's assassination, John F. Kennedy's assassination. And I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running for president, as you pointed out, his assertion, which a number of other people have made in the past, that Lee Harvey Oswald was a CIA fake defector to the Soviet Union. I think, in my mind, the evidence of the jury is still out on that. We saw in the 1980s and 90s a number of meetings between leaders of the KGB and the CIA working together on intelligence operations. And so we've seen this commingling of agencies, which makes everything even murkier than it usually is in the wilderness of mirrors that we call the intelligence operations. So we'll probably have a follow-up story on that because we're still sorting through a lot of claims and counterclaims and evidence on that. But your second question about communists in the CIA, as I point out in my article, going clear back to the progenitor of the CIA, which was the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services. That was formed in 1942 during the Second World War, really under the auspices and guidance of British intelligence, MI6. And so the man in charge of OSS was General Wild Bill Donovan. And General Donovan was an early member of the Council on Foreign Relations. By the time the OSS was formed, he had already been a Council on Foreign Relations globalist for close to 20 years. And he had a love affair with communism, and specifically with Stalinism and the NKVD. The NKVD was the progenitor of the KGB. And he actually went to the NKVD and said, hey, could you help us with some of your intelligence people? And he put some of their intelligence people into the OSS, including his top assistant, Duncan Lee, who was, it's been confirmed, he was not only a communist, but an NKVD agent. And so I go in this very brief article into a number of the other people who were identified in the OSS and who then transitioned into the CIA, who were NKVD, KGB operatives for the Soviet Union. In other words, they were working inside our intelligence agencies for the intelligence agencies of the Soviet Union. And General Donovan was fine with that. And so have been most of his successors in the CIA, almost all of whom, as we show in our articles, have also been globalists, members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And then that leads us to the major premise of our stories and what we have been reporting on for decades, that at the top levels, the globalists and the communists are working together and have been for decades to destroy limited constitutional government and create a new world order of totalitarian globalist control. And that's why what we see in the Council on Foreign Relations, at the World Economic Forum, at the Trilateral Commission, et cetera, all these globalist institutions working very closely with the communists and their intelligence agencies, which are controlled by civilian appointees, which the globalists have put in charge, have been using those agencies against us. Even though we think they're our sword and shield, they are actually turning out to be very destructive of our freedom.
Now, you said earlier, Bill, that the verdict is still out as to whether Lee Harvey Oswald might have been an asset of the CIA. And I agree with you that the verdict is still out. But one of the reasons why the verdict is still out, of course, is because there are still all kinds of documents that have not been released by the U.S. government. And yet we're almost 60 years removed from the assassination of JFK. Why on earth would these documents still be under lock and key? Unless, of course, the deep state has something to hide.
Yes. So the Official Secrets Act is very much like Britain's Official Secrets Act. And that is really to keep from the people whom the government is supposed to be serving the truth about what they've been doing to us, not for us. And so there is really no national security interest, legitimate national security interest served by keeping these things locked up. And that is why Congress needs to, and hopefully in this weaponization of government that the House committee is holding hearings on, ultimately it would be wonderful if they would actually then have legislation which would set new standards for releasing classified information like this. It would have to meet a higher standard in order to protect national security. Obviously, we don't want to give away our military secrets, our secret weapons secrets to the enemy. But if they're hiding malfeasance and treason in government, which I am quite certain is the case, then that has to be opened up. to the sunlight of public inspection.
And there are certainly examples of that where we know for sure that the CIA and the intelligence community has been working against the interests of the United States, such as, for example, spying on the American people.
Absolutely. We even had a number of cases of course, top intelligence officials, James Clapper, John Brennan, James Comey, lying, committing perjury, and being caught at it, committing perjury in Senate hearings under oath, and claiming that, no, we're not spying on the American people. No, we do not tap, or we do not record any of the phone conversations or whatnot. We know that is false, and it's been now even the mainstream media admits that it's false, but there's no crusade to have them brought to justice.
They're given,
as we point out, they're actually given contracts in the media to be commentators.
Right. And of course, how can that be unless the fix is in at the top?
Right.
And the name of your, go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say, it's important. We need to make this distinction here. We're being very critical of the IC, the intelligence community. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we fully acknowledge the vast majority of people who are special agents of the FBI, who work for the NSA or who work for the CIA, are loyal Americans who think they're defending America. In fact, I've interviewed and have been friends with many FBI, NSA, CIA people over the years, and many of them have been very alarmed by what they see inside their own agencies, the direction that these are going. They recognize that there is inherently, when you create an intelligence agency, there is the danger that it can be brought back against you, against the people it's supposed to serve. And so they would like to see more safeguards, more guardrails put in place against that for those agencies which are legitimate. And then that's a whole separate argument about which one should even exist and at what level and at what kind of funding. So,
right. Well, I think you made a really great point, Bill, that there are many wonderful and patriotic Americans within the intelligence community. But the deep state is also very entrenched within that community. And of course, they have a lot of clout because they're really the ones who are calling the shots. And your main cover story article, the first of the three, the title of that article is Intel's Real Target, America. And it's really hard to argue with that. I mean, I think that's absolutely true, the title of your article, just looking at the evidence that you assembled within that article. And of course, the evidence that you assembled is just a small part of the total evidence that's available.
Yeah, so we could only hit a very small wedge of the whole pie. But we focused in that first article on more contemporary things that people would have more freshly in their memories, particularly with the way in which the intelligence community at large, and particularly at the top, was used to try to attempt a coup against President Donald Trump. And they did this repeatedly, leaking almost every day to their adjuncts at the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN, damaging information or ill-timed information, which was an attempt to throw the new administration of Donald Trump off, to hamstring him, to cripple his administration. And with false stories or semi-false stories or even true stories that are taken out of context or released in an untimely manner. And so, in other words, you had a war going on within by people who are supposed to be supporting the president and the new administration, and they were working inside to undermine him, and to actually, they're continuing that now. They're trying to put him in prison, trying to keep and send a signal to all other Americans that, look, if someone is important, as powerful, as wealthy, and as connected as Donald Trump can be taken down, you can be too, so better not mess with us.
What is your recommendation to our viewers, Bill, is what people can do about this?
Well, first of all, of course, before taking any action, and we have to take action, we have to become informed. And that's what we try to do at The New American. That's what this particular issue of The New American is about, how the intelligence agencies fit into this. And this is crucially important for people to get a handle on. And then once they're informed, then they have to join with others in taking appropriate action. And that's what we try to do in giving direction in that area as well.
Well, thank you, Bill. And of course, for becoming informed, we encourage everybody to read your cover story articles in the May 29 issue of The New American Magazine.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.